WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Long before Norman Mailer adopted convict Jack Henry Abbott as his protege, there was another notorious friendship between a man of letters and a murderer. In 1737, Samuel Johnson met Richard Savage, who had once been an acclaimed poet and playwright. But 10 years previous, Savage stabbed a man to death in a pub brawl. A last-minute royal pardon saved his neck. In the new book, Dr. Johnson and Mr. Savage, Richard Holmes explores this odd friendship. Maureen Corrigan has a review.
I can't imagine what could have attracted the morally upright Dr. Johnson to the appropriately named Mr. Savage, a killer whose other accomplishments included the fine arts of libel, con artistry, stalking, and blackmail. James Boswell, who wrote extensively about Johnson, is no help here. He desperately downplayed his idol's criminal contacts. Johnson himself wrote a biography of Savage some years after his death, which gives us some clues. But, and here's where things start getting really weird, no one else in their circle of literary friends ever left a firsthand account of seeing the two men together. As legend has it, Johnson and Savage met only at night. They wandered the dark streets of London since they were both too poor to afford food or lodging. Dr. Johnson and Mr. Savage. If you hear echoes of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in Richard Holmes's title, it's because Holmes has his own gothic interpretation of this strange relationship. Savage, he claims, was a sort of urbane Mephistopheles to Johnson's youthful Faust. Johnson was transfixed by Savage because in him, Johnson saw a nightmare vision of what his own life would become if youthful promise were to be corrupted by evil. Although as scholarly works go, Dr. Johnson and Mr. Savage is a relatively slim volume, it manages to be many books at once. It's a vibrant account of 18th century London literary life, from successful scribblers like Henry Fielding and Alexander Pope to Grub Street hacks. Holmes's book also offers a fragmentary biography of its two principal characters. The Dr. Johnson we meet here is not that wise old egg memorialized by Boswell, but rather a gauche, scrofulous, failed schoolmaster. And Savage? Well, like you'd expect from a con man, he runs away with the story. Savage's life reads like a picaresque thriller. He claimed to be the illegitimate son of the Countess of Macclesfield and extorted money by threatening her with slanderous poems with titles like The Bastard. After his murder conviction, Savage became a celebrity, but soon offended so many influential people he lost fame and fortune and eventually died in debtor's prison. Finally, Holmes calls his book a biography of a biography. Like Janet Malcolm did for Sylvia Plath last year, Holmes peels away the layers of fiction and fact that compose the written accounts of the lives of both Johnson and Savage. What we're left with is an appreciation of the elusiveness of human identity. It's an epiphany you'd think would be stale by now, but it's one that somehow never fails to astound. Holmes also makes a dazzling case for Johnson's now little read Life of Savage as being the first modern biography. He says Johnson constructed Savage's story from an array of popular narrative forms, like the investigative profile, the courtroom drama, and the fictionalized romance. Sounds like the same creative method Joe McGinnis used for his Teddy Kennedy biography. Except unlike McGinnis, Dr. Johnson was smart enough not to get caught.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University. She reviewed Dr. Johnson and Mr. Savage by Richard Holmes.